Прочтем некоторые тексты Писания из других мест, из Нового Завета. Но я вижу, что у нас есть некоторые, которые говорят по-английски сегодня, так что будем размышлять по-английски. Но перед этим я просто хотел вам сказать, что идя через жизнь, мы иногда не замечаем вещи. Потом только оборачиваемся назад и смотрим, ой, что-то заметили. И я хотел заметить, что вчера у нас здесь, в этой стране, был типа праздник. Везде продавали цветочки, сердечки и так далее. И хотел просто заметить, посмотреть, откуда этот праздник пришел. Первое дело. И второе, также немножко прочитать о любви, которую мы видим в Библии и что она нас учит. Так что будем говорить на эти две темы. Кто, может быть, не понимает по-английски, пожалуйста, прочитайте три места. Колоссянам 3:14, 13 глава 1 Коринфянам. И Галатам 5:22. Будем читать из этих местов. So, I'll switch over to English right now. As I see, we have a couple of folks that don't understand Russian. And we'll talk about, actually, Valentine's Day. Why? Because yesterday was Valentine's Day. And we note things in life. And sometimes we don't notice certain things in life. For example, even when we look in the scripture, we have some examples of folks that noticed things around them and other people that didn't notice things around them. I'm sure you're all familiar with the story of Apostle Paul when he was walking around and he saw a monument to an unknown God and he addressed it on Mars Hill. Or even Jesus himself, remember in Matthew 24, when he was telling his disciples about the end times, he was telling them at the end times there will be wars and famines and so forth and so on. And why was he telling them? He was telling them so that they would know, so that they would note things that are happening around them. And as we look around us today, we certainly notice some of those things. But one thing that we clearly noticed yesterday, that it was Valentine's Day. There was a bunch of roses, flowers, and hearts, very unmistakable. And some of us even gotten together with the younger couples and celebrated it as a group. So clearly it was unmistakable. And so what I wanted to do today was actually talk about Valentine's Day briefly, provide you with a little bit of history, where it comes from, number one, and then number two, talk about love and Christian love that we see in the scripture. So those are the two things that I wanted to highlight. And for those that were there yesterday with our younger couples, I apologize that some of this will be a repeat of what we covered yesterday. And so first, Valentine's Day. Some might have a question, is this a Christian holiday or not? Or how does this relate? And so when I looked into it, when I studied, it was actually interesting because Valentine's Day goes back to Saint Valentine. And so who is Saint Valentine, you might ask? That's the question that I had. Who is Saint Valentine? When you read church history, there's actually three saints or three priests, at least three priests, Valentines, who are mentioned, who were first persecuted and actually gave up their lives and were executed. And of those three, one in particular is typically quoted or pointed with respect to this particular holiday. And so what do we know about that one particular man who was a church father and who was a fervent Christian man? We know that he lived in the 13th century. He was a priest and a devout Christian somewhere in Italy. And during his time, the emperor who was ruling the Roman Empire was Claudius II. And so this emperor was a pagan emperor. He was not a Christian. And he actually instituted a law that prohibited marriage. Why did he institute a law that prohibited marriage, this bad emperor? Because he had this crazy idea that soldiers who were married or who had a family were less likely to fight. They were distracted by their home life, which obviously makes sense. And so there was this law across the Roman Empire in the 3rd century that basically forbade marriage. However, Priest Valentine was a deeply faithful man, and he realized that this edict was clearly contrary to the scriptures. He knew that Christ himself said that one man was made for one woman, and so he continued marrying people. He continued marrying people. Of course, with time, he was found out and arrested. And the emperor himself actually came to see this priest. He came to see him, and he had attempted to convert him into the paganism that existed back then during those times. The emperor was not successful, and Valentine actually had a chance to witness and share the gospel with the emperor. He did that. The emperor, however, did not receive the gospel. He did not repent, and he sentenced and condemned Saint Valentine to death. And it was interesting to note that he actually condemned him to a three-part execution, which was first beating by the clubs, second stoning, and third beheading. And so that was the fate of Saint Valentine. And as we know, reading history books, what had happened next is he was put in prison awaiting his execution. And while he was in prison, he witnessed to the main jailer and to his whole family. And if you believe the history books that were written, supposedly the main jailer and his household actually believed and repented and followed Christ. And one other notable item is that, again, not sure if it's true or not, but that's what history says, is that apparently the daughter of this jailer was a blind girl. And after much prayer and witnessing, she had received her sight back. And in his final letter to the jailer and to the daughter, he signed, "From your Valentine." And apparently that's where the current tradition comes from. So that's a very brief story of where this holiday has its roots. Of course, you might ask yourself, well, when did we start first celebrating the holidays? Clearly, it had to be centuries later, because during the life of Saint Valentine, paganism was flourishing, Christianity was not, and he was executed, and that was the end of the story. And then hundreds and hundreds of years later, after the fact that this man was dead, the emperor of Rome, we know, ended up converting. The church was flourishing, the church was growing, and hundreds of years later is when there was a pagan holiday that was celebrating love and celebrating fertility, and one of the popes actually ended up canceling that holiday and instituting St. Valentine's Day in its stead. So that's the brief history. I'm not sure if you know it or if you knew it. I certainly did not know it until reading up about it. And I hope that now, knowing the history, you should see and you realize that the roots, actually, of this holiday lie deeply and intertwined with a man who had deep faith and who was taking the Word of God as the only and true living compass for his life, regardless of what the laws around him were saying and regardless of what the society around him was saying. And so we see that a man like that gave his life. A man like that gave his life, and now we celebrate in some form or another the beauty in his courage that he left for us. So that's first. Second, what I wanted to do is, now that we know this history, I wanted for us to read a couple of verses about scriptural love and reflect upon it. Why? Because typically during these holidays, again, people give each other flowers. I'm sure husbands and wives especially are thrilled to wake up on this day and receive something from their significant others. But let's look more at the essence of love, and let's see what we can learn from it. So first, read Colossians. Let's go ahead and read Colossians 3:14. When we go to that verse, let's see what it says. In Russian, it actually says, «Более же всего облекитесь в любовь, которая есть совокупность». Right? So that verse is almost like a command that tells us to put on, basically, love. And if I read it in English, Colossians 3:14, it says the following: "But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection." So it seems very straightforward, right? Above all else, put on love. Pretty darn clear. I think none of us should have questions. We are to put on love, as we had just read. Amen, right? Amen. However, when you flip to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and let's just read three verses out of there, what we should see is that the standard of love is a very high standard. So let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. It says the following: love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, nor is it puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. Does not think evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And so as you read those verses, and as I was reading those verses, I was coming to a realization that it's an incredibly high mark. It is an incredibly high bar. For those of you that are married, or for those of you that have any sort of relationships, reflect for a moment and ask yourself a question. Do you exhibit this type of a love? Do I exhibit a type of a love that suffers long, that does not envy? Do you and do I exhibit the type of a love that does not behave rudely, never seeks its own, is never provoked? Do we really? As I was reading and thinking and meditating upon this, I was realizing that too often we do seek our own. We do feel offended because someone talks to us in a different tone or wrong tone or perhaps doesn't acknowledge us. We do not rejoice in the things that we ought to rejoice oftentimes. And as it says in verse 4, oftentimes we parade while love does not parade, and we are puffed up while true love does not puff up. So if you're anything like me, I think you will realize and concede that the standard is incredibly high. And the fact of the matter is, while we read these verses and we all nod our heads and we say, oh yeah, love is like that. It does not puff up. It does do all these wonderful things. If you are anything like me, you will recognize and realize that we do fall short of this wonderful scriptural standard. And so then what happens? We just read a passage that says, put on love continually on one side. On the other side, as we look at the standard, we realize that we fall short of this wonderful, magnificent love. That we oftentimes are responsible for the disagreements and for the friction that exists in the relationships. And even if we're not, even if the other party is completely the offending party, we also realize that we don't follow this, that we don't suffer long, that we don't actually cover the other people's faults. So you have a verse that says, put it on, be completely enveloped in love, and then this high standards that we fail to achieve. I hope that you can see that friction, and I hope that you can see the fact that it does exist in your life as well. And so what it leads us to is Galatians 5:22. That is the place where we find an answer. That is the place where we find how we can reconcile this conflict that exists in our own lives. And so look at Galatians 5:22. It says the following. In Galatians 5:22 it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. So it says the fruit of the Spirit, and note the first fruit, the fruit of the Spirit is love. That is the answer to our friction and to the conflict that inevitably exists. We know we are to love, yet we fail to love. And here, Paul in Galatians tells us that the only way we could truly love like God loved is if His Spirit is living in us. That is the only source and the only power that will allow us to have the type of sacrificial love, the type of love that will cover the faults of others, the type of love that will allow you to forgive even when you were wronged materially, even when you were disrespected, even and perhaps if you were hurt in a very meaningful way, is if you are in Christ and His Spirit lives in you. Otherwise, you will fail, and I will fail, and we will not exhibit this type of a love. And yesterday, as we were gathered there with the couples, and we had a time of sharing, we were talking about some of our conflicts and how they were resolved. It was interesting to note that there was one common thread in all of the discussions and all of the sharing that we had is that, yes, there were conflicts amongst all. And they were very different. And they were very varied between the different couples. But the resolution only came when folks turned and faced the cross and approached the cross. And in doing so, got closer together. And so that was a wonderful observation and encouragement to me as well. And so today, as we remember this Valentine's Day, as we remember the tremendous faith that Priest Valentine exhibited, that he gave his life for his belief in the scripture, as we remember that, I hope that we also face the cross and that we make a beeline for the cross and embrace it such that the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ is in us so that we may exhibit his love. Amen.